There's a message here that has come through with regards to the night before experience of Hajj. We welcome onto the airways of Radio Islam, head of the Sauk Mission, Hafiz Ismail Kulwadi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khair for taking out the time to chat to us. From Sauk's point of view, with hours to go, is all systems go, everything in place?
Alhamdulillah, with Allah's favor and karam, I think what we as human beings could do, we have put into place. I think now it's basically in the hands of Almighty. And inshallah, I'm confident that Allah will make it easy for us all.
Hafiz Ismail, you mentioned that as far as all the preparations are concerned, just to paint a picture or describe to our listeners back in South Africa, what sorts of preparations and arrangements you as Sauk does for the South African Hujjaj?
We get involved in all the logistics. For example, this morning, early morning, tomorrow morning rather, we are going to be moving to Mina. So people who need busing service to take them to Mina, we arrange the logistics, we make the arrangement with the Muassasa. We go around to all the Hajis and speak to them as to what is to be expected, what time the buses will come, how the loading will take place, where we have made the relevant stops, because the Hujjaj all live in different areas. So technically, if you take into consideration as far as the logistics are concerned, for moving the Hajjis from point A to point B, from there to point C, and then back to Mina, all those arrangements are taken care by Sauk in consultation, in conjunction with the Muassasa, as well as the travel operator or the spiritual leader.
Hafiz Ismail, do you have stats at 10? How many Hujjaj are under you from South Africa?
Well, the 2,000 Hajjis, they basically fall under us. We have a split from a camp perspective. We have what we call the special services and the non-special services. Special service is known as A+. The non-special is known as C. The split between the two is 1,500 at camp C, and 500 will be going approximately to special services camp A.
In terms of, you know, alleviating the plight, or we could say making it easy for those in the non-special services with regards to the no air cons and the no coolers that, they've chosen not to have due to financial reasons, whatever the other reasons are, is there any way that some assistance can be rendered, perhaps, you know, by Sauk providing fans or anything like that?
Unfortunately, I must clarify one thing. As far as the air cons are concerned, it is only on the day of Arafah that it is not available. In Mina, the systems are up and running. They have upgraded the whole system. So, inshallah, al-Aziz, for the major part of the stay, they will be fairly cooled up. It is only the problem that we have is in Arafah. Now, there are many challenges in Arafah. Firstly, we have a shortage of power. So it is not just a matter of taking fans there and getting the thing running and starting to make the people cold. What it is that cost that was given over to the Haji or to the operator that they had to pay was to hiring of the generator, laying of the cables, as well as providing the new cooler system that they have got in place at the moment in Arafat. So it is not a matter of just taking fans and going putting an aircon there and say, all right, now we're going to be doing the assistance. That's number one. Number two, I think it is rather late at this time to go and make any arrangement for Arafat. So unfortunately, we'll have to make do with whatever we have at this point in time. But again, I need to reiterate that inshallah in Mina, the systems are working. We have checked it out. We have tested it. So for the 3 days out of the 5 days, inshallah al-Aziz, the Hajjis will be comfortable. We'll have to just endure what happens on Arafat, and we make dua that Allah make it easy and probably even cool that day down for the Hajjis in general.
In terms of the transportation of the Hajjis, and you made reference to that, there is the aspect with regards to the shuttle service that has been operating in the last few years. Perhaps you could share greater insight. How does it work? How are the time slots allocated? Is there any particular sequence? And, who issues that command, and how is it conveyed to the relevant tour operators?
What it is a basic a shuttle program. I think first thing what we need to understand is when the system starts, it's a rotational system. It goes, it is allocated certain amount of rounds that each bus has to do. As far as the time slots are concerned, there are recommendations that we get from the Mu'assasa. We relay that to the operator in consultation with all three parties. We try and work out an amicable timing. Now, there are some operators that would prefer to go early in the morning. There are some operators or the Hajis prefer to go Ba'd al-Fajr. So taking all that into consideration, we then work out time slots. Now, as per the consultation with the Hujjaj and the operators, we have decided to start the South African shuttle program system from 3 o'clock in the morning. There are Hajis that are living in central Makkah, those people who opted for the full stay, they prefer to leave early. So we're hoping that by the time we start the Makkah round, it will be adequate enough to facilitate those people who want to leave Ba'd al-Fajr. Fajr here at the moment in the kingdom is around about 5, 10 past 5. So hopefully by 5:30, if all goes well as far as the traffic is concerned and whatever other issues that is related to the shuttle program is in order, then we would be able to move our Hajis Ba'd al-Fajr from the Azizia area. But we're going to be starting off at Makkah at 3 o'clock. And all this is done with consultation with the operator and obviously recommendation from experiences of the past. It has worked well over the last 7 years. Inshallah, Aziz, we can only get better. And I'm confident if we have the cooperation and the coordination between all the relevant parties, it could be another successful year.
Hafiz Ismail, finally, before we let you go, I'm sure you are very busy also, but tell us the atmosphere like the South African Hujjaj, less than 10 hours left or just about 10 hours left before they will be leaving for Mina. So what's the atmosphere and feelings like for those people, especially that are performing the Hajj for the first time?
Yes, I think the first time is there is a lot of excitement, there's a lot of butterflies, but alhamdulillah, I think the operators, the spiritual leaders, have done a superb job by calming them down. With those South Africans that I have interacted, they seem to be fairly relaxed. But I think it is only but natural that being the first time, being the most sort of auspicious trip of their life, it is something that is expected that there will be some sort of butterflies and excitement. But I'm sure that with the mission, the operators, the spiritual leaders, we will be able to calm that. And I'm pretty confident the spirits are high. And inshallah, Aziz, again, we request for du'as that Allah make it easy for us. And Allah grant them all the Hajj Mabrur and Hajj Maqbool, inshallah.
Inshallah. I mean, Hafiz Ismail, inshallah, we hope to speak to you tomorrow morning around 6:15 again for another update with Mawlana Suleiman Rawat. Till then, you carry on going. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts your efforts that you are rendering for the Hujjaj that are there.
Ameen, inshallah. Jazakum Allah. Thanks for having us on.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Yes, that was Hafiz Ismail Kolvadia, who is the head of the Sauk mission. Now we speak to someone locally who performed the Hajj a couple of years ago, and this is Brother Ismail Vadi from Johannesburg, who had the opportunity of performing Hajj in 1434. Brother Ismail, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, Muftiza.
Yes, you performed Hajj back in 1434. That is now 3 years ago with Mulana Dawood Samson, Mulana Olga. That must have been with the Khidmatul Awam brothers. At this present juncture, you know, just before Hajj actually starts, perhaps you've been there not too long ago. You can share with us, what is the feelings that a Hajj is currently experiencing?
It's very exciting. I was also worried when I was there. But as we started, we proceeded to Mina. We walked to Mina from. We walked to Mina and then we settled down, and then we moved to Arafat the same evening. It was so exciting, and you know, being at the age of 59, I was so worried before I left, and I went alone, Muftisam.
Yes.
It's a lifetime experience, which I'll never forget, and the memories with Malana Dawood and Malana Olga.
What is the one specific point of the Hajj that you recollect when you think about Hajj, you know, going back and reflecting on Hajj, and the various aspects, the various rites of Hajj, the various activities that the Hajj engage in. When you, you know, at the top of your mind, just think of Hajj, what scene from Hajj comes back to you?
Actually, I experienced one or two miracles of Hajj, and it's a lifetime, you know, of that experience of those miracles. The one was that the stoning of the Jamarat, when the biggest Jamarat, I was alone, and when I was left with seven pebbles to throw at the Jamarat, I had small tiny pebbles, and the next thing, I was looking at them, and I looked up, and a lady approached me and said, "Assalamu alaikum, these are the pebbles that you will throw on the biggest Satan." So I looked at the pebbles, they were amazing, they were glittering like gold. And I threw them at the Satan, and when I looked for the lady, she disappeared. And the other one was at Janatul Tukra, when I was alone also. I asked one of the security guys, "What do I do?" Because I was separated from the group. I did everything alone. And he told me to enter from the second door and follow the red carpet until it turns green. As I approached the carpet, it was red. And when it turned green, then the genital took her. And he told me, "You'll be very lucky with the amount of people there. The space will open up for you to perform your two rakat." Lovely. As I carried on walking, and there were so many people, and the next thing, when I got to the green carpet, it opened up, and I performed my two rakats. I was so happy, you know.
Yes. These are the type of things that people witness on their journey that will always remain with them. Also, what was unique about that year was that the children, the twins, were born, Mina and Arafat. Tell us about that.
Yes, we were in Arafat, actually, and the next thing we heard, a lady's been rushed to the hospital, you know. So I was wondering which lady and what's going on. And then next thing, a few hours later, they said the African lady sister, she gave birth to twins, and you know, they named them Mina and Arafat. You know, what an experience, and it was so nice, and the whole group were delighted because when one of the Hujaj asked her how did she board the plane, you know, being pregnant, and she said, She's very lucky, it's meant to be, and she was blessed with twins.
If you have to now give a Haji any advice on this eve of Hajj, what advice would you share with a Haji?
I would say just keep your mind free and dedicate yourself to Allah Ta'ala, and everything just goes, you know, flows, and it brings back memories to Mufti Sahib.
We really appreciate, you know, sharing these memories with us, Brother Ismail. Jazakumullah khair for chatting to us this evening.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa